Good morning. We doing okay this morning? Good. Man, he dances all over this thing, and by the time I get up here, you could like, I couldn't fit my whole body down through there, but there's a big old hole back there. I'm always just waiting to fall in, as if it wasn't like I'm like not just wanting to like step off this thing most of the time anyway. It's good to see you this morning. This morning's message is something that I hope can be of encouragement to you. This morning, God, and I can't really explain why, but God just really laid it on my heart to talk about our confidence. Our confidence is one of those things that is broken so many times by, you know, things that we deal with on day-to-day basis and, you know, just whatever. You know, it's just one of those things that we lose a lot of times. And this morning, we're going to talk about our confidence in who God is. I just feel like God is wanting to speak to our hearts and bring us back to a place where we can just kind of say, you know what, God, I do have faith in you. I do trust you. And this is why. So I hope that you'll track with me this morning. I don't know about you, but there is a lot of lack of confidence going on these days. If you think about it for just a second, what is something that you're having confidence in right now? You know, what things are you not having confidence in right now? You can just kind of stroll through the list of things that we see and deal with on a regular basis right now. Big thing in the media, of course, are our politicians. Whole lot of confidence to be had right there. Always back and forth at each other, always something new, always digging up something on the other, saying something about the other. It's hard to have confidence. You know, one of the things that I've seen a lot of lately, many of you are probably in this boat, and that's your jobs, having confidence in your job. I have dealt more in the last couple of months counseling with people that have been losing their jobs, or are afraid that they're going to lose their job, or that they're not going to be able to continue to have the work that they usually have to make an income. You know, one of the things that I think probably keeps us from having confidence in anything, and this kind of pretty much, you know, sells it down the road for us, is just people in general. People fail us. It doesn't matter what kind of position they are in. You know, we make the mistake at times of putting people on a pedestal and go, man, they have got this all figured out or something. And then, you know, what's the next thing that happens? We lose confidence in them because what do? They do something dumb. They do something stupid. They make a simple mistake. They fail us. So it's hard to have confidence in people a lot of times. And that's kind of rough because some of us are married to people. And some of us have people as kids, and some of us have people as parents or other family members or coworkers, and so people are something that we have to deal with. And then, of course, there's our health, you know, and our confidence in our health. What's, you know, how's my health doing and all that kind of stuff. And we all know that that's another one of those things that we just never know. We just never know. I've been with a family off and on a little bit this week, going to try to be with them later today. That their son was in a motorcycle accident last weekend. And he is now paralyzed from the chest down, 19 years old, you know. And when you're in that type of a situation, what do you have confidence in? Some of you have been in those situations. I've seen some of you live through situations like that where it seems like, you know, what you're being told is just the way it's going to be. But we can have confidence. We can have confidence in God. So this morning, we're going to talk about that. I do want to take just a second and pray for us. I feel like we need that this morning. I want us to just kind of be honest with God this morning in our hearts. And so I want you just to kind of sit there for just a second. Just bow your head, close your eyes, whatever you need to do. And I want to just encourage you just for a second to just kind of meet with God and just be real with him about where your confidence level is with him right now. And you know, if you'd be so willing to try to see if he wants to work in your life, which I know that he does, then say, God, I want to have more confidence in you. Just tell him that right now. Let's take just a second for you just to pray on your own. Just do that right now. God, you've called us to confidence in you. And God, sometimes that's hard to do because we have a hard time having confidence in anything because so many things have failed us. But God, you never fail. And God, that is sometimes hard to see when you are in certain situations in life, but God, you never fail. You never have and you never will. And God, I just ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, through your word, God, that you would call us to a greater level of confidence in who you are, a greater level of trust and of faith in who you are and who you've called us to be in you. God, we love you and we thank you this morning for allowing us to get to be here together. God, you are unbelievable. God, and it is amazing that we get to know you. We love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Here recently, with family in our church, we had a mom that was a part of this family, and this mom had been praying. You know, we've probably got some other moms in here today that are praying moms. We've had a praying mom in our church for quite some time. She's been coming quite some time, and at first it was just her, and then slowly but surely her kids were coming a little bit, and then slowly but surely her husband started coming a little bit. You know, just awesome family, incredible family. But this praying mom was praying for something very specific to happen. And let me just, we're going to talk about this here in just a minute, but let me just encourage you to not be afraid to pray for things that are of God's heart. When we begin to tap into God by praying about things that are according to His will, amazing things begin to happen. God starts to do amazing things. And anyway, we've got this mom, and she'd been praying and praying and praying. Long, long time. Years she had been praying. And in the midst of years of her praying, God heard her prayer. For those of us that are here today that maybe lack a little confidence, I'm going to share a little story with you through video of a mom who prayed for her children and her husband. And we'll see what happens. Let's check this out.
Things happened this weekend that kind of woke us all up. Got stung by a wasp. Never been allergic before. And probably 15 minutes went by. Apparently had an allergic reaction. The next thing I know, my son found me in the basement floor, unconscious, not breathing. He performed CPR until he couldn't anymore. Luckily, a friend was there. So I got a second chance that a lot of people don't get. I basically left this world. I was basically gone, according to paramedics. And there were people there at my house that were praying for me that maybe a lot of times don't pray. And so if you don't think prayer works, think again. Like I said, I got a second chance. My kids come to me, they said it's time. We're going to Sycamore Creek. It's on our farm, it runs through our farm. It's a swimming hole that I swam in when I was 6 years old. My dad was baptized there as a boy. And I've always said that when I was baptized, I want to be baptized there. And, to a lot of people, it's probably not a lot, but to me, it's special. So, sometimes it takes a wake-up call to make you realize how blessed, how things work. I'm Wade Drake. This is my son, Nat Drake. And this is my daughter, Lacey, or better known as Pug.
Thug?
Bug.
How'd you get that name? My grandfather, his dad, gave it to me how long ago? I mean, I've known, we have home videos from when I was like months old and I was already bugged. So I have teachers that call me that, and I've been called over the intercom at school as bug, so it just kind of happens.
A lot of people don't get a second chance. But I did.
Praying mother, yes. Prayers are answered. I've been praying for a long time for this to happen, and I hate what happened to get here, but maybe that's what it took. So God works in mysterious ways, so and even in a wasp.
I know it's a little hard to hear because that was a very impromptu video that was made a couple of weeks ago. We didn't have all the mics and stuff that we use a lot of times to do that. And if you didn't catch what happened there, her husband, that was Tish at the very end that you saw, she was the mom I was just talking about. Her husband, Wade, had gotten stung by a wasp. He said he'd been stung by a wasp tons of times before. Never really had any problem with that, but one stung him on the nose. And he went into cardiac arrest, and he actually, as he put it, left us for a moment. And next thing he knew, he woke up at the hospital. They had revived him, and he told me, he called me. I love these phone calls. He called me on a Tuesday afternoon, and he said, "Chris, I really need to talk." And I said, "Man, come on over to the house." He comes over and sits down, and he says, "You know, my kids and I have been talking about something for a long time, and we've been meaning to do something, but we've just been putting it off. So we've just been kind of, you know, just saying, we'll do that. We'll do that later." And he said, "Chris," he said, "something happened this weekend," and he told me the story about the wasp, and he said, "That woke me up, Chris." He said, and he just looked at me, and there's something about a grown man that can look at you and just be straight up bold, honest with you. And he looked me in the face and said, "Chris, I'm not saved. I don't know God. Been to church a lot, but I don't know God." And he said, "And my kids are in the same boat, but we've been talking about it, and we're ready. We've all individually, together, we've talked about it. We've all come to this point where God is working on our hearts, and we know that we need to receive Christ as our Savior." And he said, "We want to do that, Chris." And I said, "That is awesome." And he said, "This is even better." He said, "And we want to do it today." I said, "Well, that's great." And he said, "Well, my dad was baptized in a swimming hole that's back on our family farm. And if it's okay with you, we'd like to be baptized in that hole." I said, "That's awesome." I said, "That'd be great." And even better, he goes, "We'd like to do that today too." And I said, "Okay." I said, that'd be great. And I said, "Now, you know, plunge is coming up. I don't want you to, you know, not, you know, miss out, get to do that." And he said, no, this is something we really want to do." And I said, "That's fine." So that's fine. Let's do that. And so we went that day, and obviously we prayed. We got to pray out in front of their house before the cameras were rolling, and they prayed to receive Christ, the three of them. And then we went out to the creek, and they were baptized. And I looked at Tish that day, and I said, "Tish, you've been praying for this for a long time, haven't you?" And she said, "Yeah, I have." I said, "What is this like?" And she said, "Words can't express what this is like right now. To finally see the three people that she probably loves the most in her life all come to Christ is just an amazing thing. And, you know, I think for so many of us, because we've lost confidence in things that we deal with on a daily basis, we lose confidence in God. And we cease to ask God for godly things. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago about prayer, and I'm not here to talk about prayer so much today, but it's definitely a part of this. But, you know, we're great sometimes at telling God what we want. And sometimes that's not bad. Sometimes it's not bad. It's not bad to tell God what we want if it's something that has to do with doing His will. Then absolutely, yes. You know, in fact, you know, I think a real life scenario right now, you know, we're dealing with, you know, we've got a lot of families dealing with job stuff, income stuff. And I'll just be honest with you, I'd be a liar if I didn't tell you that that doesn't affect our church and isn't affecting our church financially right now. You know, and something for us to pray for. Obviously, the church is about doing God's will. It's about carrying out the gospel. You know, so to go along with that, something for us to pray about as a church is that God will provide. There's a lot of things we've kind of got on the shelf right now. We're trying to do a parking lot in the back, and we've even scaled that back to some degree. And, you know, we're working at that stuff. But honestly, we've been kind of trying not to spend any of the money on any of the stuff that we got back from the bank because, you know, it's this scenario of we're not sure these next few months how it's looking. You know, what's it going to look like? We got to pay the mortgage. I want to make sure that we try to pay our staff, the ones that we pay. You know, but like this morning, and over the last several months, you know, we've got a, you know, and this maybe seems petty. One of the reasons it was so hard for you to hear that video is because our sound system's going out. It's the same sound system we've been using since we started the church. It's been in and out of trailers for years, literally, every week. And it's just kind of starting to fail, but, you know, we got other things to tend to. And so I just say, you know, we would do ourselves a great justice and we would do the kingdom of God a great justice if we as a people and as a church would go to God and say, God, we want you to do your thing. And God, you have called us to do something. And maybe there's something even in your family that I don't know and I'm not even going to guess, but maybe there's something even in your family that you know God is calling you and your family to do. And you're going, you know, God, I know we need to do this, but it just doesn't make sense on paper or whatever it is. And I just want to encourage you to have confidence in God. You say, well, Chris, how can I have confidence in God? We see examples in people's lives like Tish, who prayed nonstop. We see examples in Scripture. We've got this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 4 that tells us this in verse 14, and it's talking about Jesus. It says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach, check this out, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Now, there's a couple of different things happening here, and there's a couple of different people that are sitting here in the room today. Some of you in here, you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know without a shadow of a doubt that you're good to go. You have a relationship with God. You're trying to grow in that relationship, hopefully. That's the point. And in doing so, God gets all the glory because He's going to change your life, and people are going to see your life changed, and from that, He's going to get the glory. The second group of people that we have in here today are people maybe that, you know, don't know Christ. You've never entered into a relationship with Jesus. You've never actually said, you know what, I know that God is speaking to my heart and I want to follow that. I want to listen to Him and I want to give Him everything I've got. And so for that second group of people, you're much like what we saw in Wade and even their children, you know, in the video here, you know, a lot of church is great, but a lot of church is not going to take you home to be with Jesus one day. A lot of church doesn't do that. You see, the church is the body of believers who are to be about building each other up, encouraging one another. You know, let me just throw this out. This may seem random, but I want to throw this out to you. Encouragement is a huge part of who we should be as the church. In such a way that you know, when we're picking up our kids, when we're seeing the greeters and they're greeting us, when we're coming in, you know, and when we're leaving or whatever, you know, that what would it be like if we were a church where it was almost like a see who could encourage the other one first? So that when you're coming up to the door and the greeter gets ready to say, "Man, it's so great to see you today. Thank you for being here," that instead you're going, "Hey, thank you for greeting me this morning. It's so awesome to see you outside." What would that be like? That's who we've been called to be. God wants us to be an encouraging people. This passage of Scripture brings home something that is so key to our faith this morning. And I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm about to just unload it on you. I'm backing up the truck and the beeping is on, and here it is. Jesus came to save us. And in doing so, he became the high priest. Let me just kind of backpedal just a little bit here. If you're not that knowledgeable about history of the Old Testament and that type of thing, something that you've got to understand is that back in the day, when you were a sinner, which we all are, when you were a sinner, you would go to the high priest and say, "Here's my sin," and you would confess your sin to the high priest, and then he would take it to God. In fact, he would go into a place called the Holy of Holies. It was like the Mecca. It was like the, you know, the one place on earth, you know, it was like, you know, God dwelt there, you know, kind of deal, and it was this huge deal. Well, God's so awesome because when God sent Christ to live as fully man, fully God, crazy stuff, I know. And in the process of doing so, he became the high priest for us. What does that mean? It means this. It means that now he intercedes for us. No longer a priest. We don't go to confessional and, you know, "Hey, here's my stuff, and I've been a bad boy this week, and I did this and this, and you need to take that to God for me." No. Jesus did something that takes all that away. When we come to a relationship with Christ, he becomes our high priest. But see, it's great because he wasn't just a man, he was also God. And because we get to have a relationship with Jesus, we are having a relationship with God. So no more priest, no more confessional booth. We have a relationship with Jesus. We have a relationship with God. You say, "Well, Chris, that's great. That's good. Thanks. Thanks for the little history lesson. That's wonderful." Well, it gets better. This passage of Scripture is talking about this specifically, and it says in verse 15, it says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin." Now verse 16, check this out. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I'm just here just letting you know today, God is with you. If you know Jesus as your Savior, God is with you. If you are going through some kind of crazy something in your life right now, God is with you. Imagine being the mom and the wife who prays for her family, not for days, not for months, but for years. Had to be moments where she was going, "God, are you listening? This is for your will. This is for your glory. I want them to come to know you for your sake, for your name." But God was with her. God is with every one of us that know him personally. The question is this morning is, do you know God personally? Do you have a relationship with him? You say, "Well, Chris, you know, I've got some pretty major stuff going on in my life right now." I'm telling you today, he is sovereign. He is all powerful. He is all-knowing. He is more gracious than anything, anyone that we have ever known in our lives. In fact, He is so gracious that we don't even deserve what He's done for us. But what He has done for us has said, despite the terrible things that you have done in your life that have broken my heart, I'm going to give you a chance at eternal life. I'm going to give you a chance to know me, and I know that you're still going to sin against me at times, but you know what? I want to love you, and I want the world to be able to see my glory living out in you. Because even as sinners, even as poor, wretched people that we are sometimes, when we choose God's way over things of this world, every single time, the glory goes out to Him. And people see a little inkling. People that don't even know Jesus, people that don't know God as their Savior, see just a little inkling of how great He is. And how all-powerful He is, and how almighty He is. So that when we are in the situation, when we're at the hospital with that family member, or we've lost that job, or whatever it is, that something supernatural takes place when we show that we have confidence in who God is. And when our confidence is carried out in prayer and petition, and we're saying, God, I love you, and I know that this is your will, and you're doing your thing, and I'm just going to follow along. And that's hard to do. But when we do that, God does amazing things. I mean, just think about it. Think about, you know, all the different passages of Scripture that we see time and time again. One person right after the next coming to God and saying, God, if it be your will, do this thing. Think about all the people in your life that you know of that God has directly affected. What has God done in your life? Because you have prayed and said, God, please guide me, direct me. I want to do your will. If you're willing to pray that line and really mean it, and that means hell or high water, the good and the bad, whatever is coming, you're going to be willing to take it. And you're going to be like, God, whatever you got for me, I want that. Because I've got my thing, I've got my way, and I'm pretty good at it. In fact, I'm fairly bossy, and I manage to, you know, get my way around, you know, most of the time. But God, you've got a way, and I want it. And whatever it is, whether it's good, whether it looks bad, whether whatever, I'm willing to take it, God. If you're willing to strip everything away from me, I want that, God. That's a hard prayer to pray. But when we get to that point in our relationship with the Lord where we're willing to say, God, I just want your will to be done, amazing things begin to happen. You know, God is unbelievable. I mean, so unbelievable that He's doing something for us that we don't deserve, and something that is a continuous thing in our lives. The forgiveness of our sins is something in of itself that I can't fathom as a human being, but I understand that He wants to do it. This morning, some of you are here and you don't know Jesus as your Savior. I want to let you know something. You can know today. You can know Jesus as your Savior today. That's something that you can find out today. In fact, in just a little bit, we're going to be doing something, and while we're doing that, I'm going to go out in the hall, and I'm not going out there just to talk to whoever wants to come talk about whatever. I'm going out there specifically to talk only to people that are interested in coming to Jesus today, or just at least talking about it. And so, you know, if that's you this morning, you can slip out. Everybody's going to be kind of moving around anyway with what we're doing. But I encourage you. I encourage you toward whatever God is speaking to you in your heart. The band's going to come and they're going to begin to play. We're actually going to kind of continue this conversation next week a little bit. But the band's going to come and we're going to play. They're going to play, and as they do, I want to read a passage of Scripture, and I want to remind us of something. We see Jesus talking in the Great Commission about something, and he finishes off the Great Commission. The Great Commission is one of the greatest passages of Scripture that we've been given. If you can level out how great passages are over others, which I don't think we should do, but I mean, it's impacted our lives in such a way, and it's given us such a call to who we are. And God finished it off with Jesus saying this. He said, "And I will be with you always till the end of the age." And in that statement alone, he is saying, have confidence in me. I don't know where you're at in your life right now, what you're going through. Maybe you're not going through something, and maybe life is grand for you right now, but maybe God is putting people in your life right now that their life is not grand. And you're saying to yourself, why in the world are all these people around me falling apart? Why is all this stuff going on? Did it ever occur to you that it's because God wants to show himself through you in their lives? That he wants to show that he is there, and that we can show that God is there for people that don't even know him by loving them. And how powerful is that? I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. I can only imagine what it would have been like to have been one of Christ's disciples, to have been hanging out with him, and to be constantly kind of wondering, what's next, Jesus? What's going to happen? And we see that one of those things is coming, and he begins to talk about it early on, and they just don't get it most of the time, and they weren't getting it a lot of the time here. And finally he sets them down for dinner one night, and he says, guys, the time has come. I've had a great ministry here. I've taught a lot of stuff, but a time has come, and that time is for me to die. And just thinking about in the moment that when Jesus was sitting around with his guys, these guys that he, you know how it is, people that we're close to, we just love them so much. And he gets to look at them and he says, I'm about to leave this place. They're going to kill me. And in the process, one of you guys is going to turn me in. One of you is going to deny me 3 times. And a bunch of you are just going to scatter all over the place. But I love you, and I want you to know that. And we've got this cup, and we've got this bread, and they're symbolizing something here. And Jesus says to them very plainly, he says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, and they all drank from it. This is my blood, the covenant which is poured out for many. He said to them, I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Today, as the church, we get to remember what Christ has done for us. We get to remember that in the moment of being a son, when you normally would be able to look to your father for help, that in that moment, Dad gave him up. And he gave him up for us so that we could have a real relationship, so that we could receive true forgiveness, and so that we could understand what love really is, and that we could understand what it meant to live for the glory of God. And this morning, we've got a couple of tables down here, and I'm going to ask, here in just a second, that as you can, if you want to come with your family, if you want to, maybe you're the head of your family, and you want to come get this, and you want to serve your family. That's great too. If you want to bring your whole family up and pray together, honestly, I don't care. I don't care if you want to get down around on the ground and spend some time in prayer together alone. This is your time between you and the Lord. Take this opportunity and don't rush it. but spend this time with God, remembering the sacrifice of a son who was given over by a dad because he loves us and because he wants us to know that we can have confidence in who he is. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And above all, God, the sacrifice of your son is something that we can't even understand. Because, God, it is so extreme that it doesn't even make sense to us most days. But, God, you did it. And you did it because you love us. God, for those of us that are here today, God, that know you, God, we can celebrate in this time of the Lord's Supper. We can remember that the bread was your body and that the drink was your blood. But God, there are some here today, God, that just straight up, they don't know you. God, and they don't get the opportunity to celebrate in this like we do today. And so God, for them, God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to their heart. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just call on them, God, to just run to you. God, and if they want to talk, if they want to pray about that, God, I pray, Lord, that they'd be willing just to come out into the foyer in the next couple of minutes. God, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done, for the sacrifice of your son. God, we stand behind the cross to be able to see you and know you. God, thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus.